chance and opportunity we have to come together and gather and hear your word. And I pray you grant me the ability to preach it in clear understanding so that all here can see the truth therein and be edified and built up. I thank you, Lord, for those that are here. Pray for those that couldn't make it. And we always want to keep our brethren and our ministers in our prayers to give them encouragement and strength to continue on in the faith. And as we do so, we know that we're challenged at all points, that the devil never rests in these things. And I pray that we'd be strong in the faith to stand against the wiles of the devil. We want to take this time and opportunity also to lift up requests to you, things that are burdening our hearts, things that are in our lives that we need your assistance on. So we want to take this opportunity to raise those up to you and pray that you'd work in each given request and be done to you, to your honor and to your glory, which you're deserving of. Also pray that the gospel being presented can be seen by all here, especially if there's any that's never trusted in Christ, that this would be the day that they trust in the Lord and obtain your salvation, which only comes through Christ. We'll give you thanks and praise through our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Look in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, I want to talk to you this morning. There's a word that appears 26 times in your Bible. It's written two times in Paul's epistles in two different verses. So I want to cover that word, and that word is beware. I want to talk to you about beware. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul addresses the Philippians here in his writings in verse 1. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." So you see there's a warning here that Paul gives to beware. Have your eyes open. Look about, beware of the situation. And he addressed in verse 2 three different groups, I would say there. As the dogs, many times your neighbors will have a sign up that says, "Beware of the dog," right? And so with that sign, you know that there's a concern there of going in the yard. These dogs here are not your four-legged type dogs. These are people. In the Gentile world, at this time, he's addressing Gentiles. Gentiles were known as dogs by the Jews. So he's addressing that group. So beware of dogs. Then beware of evil workers. They are those that will come into the church and do some bad things in the church. And I'm not just talking about sins. I'm talking about doctrinal things that would corrupt the local church. And then beware of the concision, which that would have to do with the Jews. Watch out for the unbelieving Jews that would come in and hurt the church also. So we see that beware is a strong word. It's a protective word. There are also areas in your Bible that Paul wrote where the word beware does not appear, but you know the situation is of such concern that the word beware pops up in your mind. If you read it, you go, "Well, I better beware of that." And that's what we're going to look at in just a moment. For instance, if you would, turn back to Ezekiel 22. When you get Ezekiel, hold Ezekiel 22, and then turn to your right when you're at Ezekiel, and go to Zephaniah. Someone said, "You're pulling my leg." Zephaniah is not in the Bible. That's what Obed used to do all the time, but he used, Hezekiah? Yeah, and people are just thumbing through and then it'd laugh at them, and that's not in there. Well, I'm not doing that to you. Zephaniah is there. It's easier to go to Matthew to find Zephaniah and then go back. It's about four books. The books are real small. You get to Zephaniah, get chapter 3. We'll read Ezekiel first, but Zephaniah, I want to give you just a minute to get there. And I want to read these two passages of Scripture because they're kind of going to go with the thought that we have in the beware, the message of beware. Be concerned, look at it, and cautious in the given situation there. So, Ezekiel chapter 22, in verse 22, 23, Ezekiel's writing here. He says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and the precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths and have profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain." Now it goes on, but I really wanted those verses. In particular, verse 27 is what's going to come into play. Let me explain a little bit here. Ezekiel's addressing Israel and the land there. And Israel had gone corrupt. They'd left the Lord. You saw him addressing the prophets there. The prophets, they're like a roaring lion ravening the prey. He says they've devoured souls. They've taken the treasure and precious things. They've made her many widows in the midst thereof. Then he addressed the priest in verse 26. They have violated my law and have profaned my holy things and put no difference between the holy and profane. And they showed no difference between the unclean and the clean and hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. So the whole system of the representation of God to Israel had been corrupted. Then you get down to the princes there, the leaders of the territories, says in verse 27, her, that's Israel, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening in the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And that's really what it's all about. It's about the gain, the filthy lucre. And so he addresses them and calls them, in verse 27, wolves ravening in the prey. Well, that word ravening has to do with to tear to shreds. I mean, it is to rip apart. It's not just to damage or cut. It is to rip apart, tear to shreds. So it's a harsh description of where Israel was at this time, particularly these priests. Now, I mean, the princes in verse 27. You guys have Zephaniah. If not, if you couldn't find it, that's okay. I'll just read it and you listen. Chapter 3 of Zephaniah. In verse 1 says, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city." He's addressing Jerusalem. "She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves, and they gnaw not the bones till the morrow." And so it's another description. And you see, in those two writings right there, there's an animal described there as a wolf. And it's a ravening wolf, and it goes after its prey. And he describes it there in verse 3. "Her judges are evening wolves. They know not the bones till the morrow." And so the character, or the nature rather, of a wolf is to go after its prey at night. It uses the cover of darkness. It uses its keen sense of smell. It uses its hunting skills, and it does it at night. And that's why Zephaniah, right in here, says when it goes after the prey, it's done with it before the sun comes up. It does all its damage at night, and that's what he's addressing there. And that's the state that Israel was in when Zephaniah and Ezekiel wrote these prophecies here. And so keep in mind the wolves, because now we want to go to Acts chapter 20. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Now, this is an account. The Apostle Paul that we're reading about here in Acts 20, he had already gone into the region of Turkey. He had gone to Ephesus. He had preached there. There were those that believed the gospel, and those that believed, they assembled in a church, a house is what it was at the time. So they gathered together in a house. Consequently, he left there, Ephesus, and he went on about his ministry. Well, then he comes back by and he stays there for a period of time, which we're going to see in just a minute when he comes back. But when he comes back, he calls the elders of the church at Ephesus and he has his final say with them. And that's what we're going to be reading in Acts chapter 20, his final goodbye, so to speak. Look in verse, and we're jumping right into their conversation in verse 25. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. There are the wolves again. The wolves are always at the door, as the song goes. Let's go to the board here, and we'll do some time, the ministry of Christ to his death, his burial, then his resurrection. Now, we've got a time here called the dispensation of the grace of God. And during this time, there's a gospel here, and it is good news to everybody in the world. What is that good news? Well, the good news is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he was raised again for our justification. So the minister's responsibility, I don't care what denomination you title yourself with, you better be preaching the only good news that is available today is certified by God Almighty. And so that is that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and was raised again the third day. That is the good news in this age that we're living in today, also called the dispensation of the grace of God. So we're in an age of grace. It's God's grace. God is not pouring out his wrath today. God is not going to make you pay for your sins. God is not causing tornado, hurricanes, earthquakes, or any of the calamities of this world to hit certain areas of this world because they're sinners. The grace of God has taken care of his anger and his wrath. In this age, there is no wrath of God being poured out on anybody. God Almighty took his wrath that should be directed towards us and poured it out upon his Son. Therefore, Jesus Christ bear God's wrath in your behalf. So God's not going to pour his wrath out on his Son and then turn around because you commit a sin and then going to pour it out on you. In court terms, that's double jeopardy. It's paying twice for a particular crime like that, and you don't. So Christ paid for our sins by dying for our sins. He was buried, but he was an innocent man. Christ went to the cross without sin, but was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So since he was innocent and going to the cross dying there, God could not leave his soul in hell. Matter of fact, the Bible says It was impossible for death to hold him there, so God raised him up and set him at his own right hand. That's where Christ is today. He is seated at the right hand of God. And through your Bible, whether it's a judge or a king or whatever, when a king or a judge or anybody sits down, it's an accomplishment. In other words, they're not rising up to pass judgment. So, Jesus Christ is seated right now. Everything's at rest. The only thing for you today is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing left for you to do. There's nothing you can do but trust in the Lord. Because anything that our flesh tries to do, consequently, it's no good before God. So, what do you have? You have people that are referred to as wolves. And by the way, with this said, turn to Romans. Hang a right in your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 13. In Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time. If you don't know the time right now, you're going to know it in just a minute. Watch. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The night. The night is far spent. So during this time of grace, is it day or night? What? Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 1, was the light. He was the light. Well, you got day there. So, they put the light out. They crucified him. So we're in a time now of night. As bright as that sun is right now, it's nighttime. And it has to do with ignorance. It has to do with the lack of understanding. So, God then has men that bring forth this good news, preach this good news. It is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which should shine unto them. And so consequently, we're in the night. Well, we saw in those prophecy passages of Ezekiel and Zephaniah that there are wolves there. We see in Acts chapter 20, Paul says that when I'm gone, the wolves are going to come in, not sparing the flock. Well, folks, when do wolves hunt? When do they go after their prey? Night. They're there. They're there right now. So consequently, they're there to destroy churches. Now, how do they do it? They do it by doctrine. They do it by things that are contrary to what was given to our Apostle Paul. For instance, I'll show you how it works. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Hang a right from Romans. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Paul goes into the region of Galatia, the Gauls. That's Turkey, moves on up all the way to the Black Sea, in that region. So he goes in that region, he preaches this gospel. That a man is justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. So there were those in the Galatia region that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They got saved. Their sins are forgiven. However, he left. And guess what happened? Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from my Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Amen. I threw that amen in there, by the way. According to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There it is. Now watch verse 6. He had left Galatia. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, within that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. He repeats it. Accursed, literally, when you go into Greek and you do all the checking of the word occult, accursed, it means to be damned, condemned, damned to hell. You kind of can read it in that form if you'd like. And he says it twice. So what happened? Well, Paul preached the gospel there. There was groups of assemblies in that region of Galatia. Paul leaves out. Then he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him. Why? As soon as he was gone, who came in? The wolves came in. And what did they come in with? He said, another gospel. They took the message of Jesus Christ and they perverted it. They didn't say, well, Jesus never existed. He never lived. They acknowledged it. They acknowledged this, the fact. Remember, they're only 30 years or so at best, and maybe not that far, after Christ went to the cross. So it was all history there. But what did they do? They said, oh, you can't just believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day, and go to heaven. And God forgive you. So they brought in the law. They said, well, you've got to do this out of the other. So he addresses this out of the other. He addresses circumcision. Because that's what they're... If you're not circumcised, you can't be saved. So the wolves moved in. And they started tearing up the church at Galatia. That's why when you go back to Acts chapter 20, turn there with me. Turn back to Acts 20. When he's meeting with these elders, verse 20, 28, take heed. You know what take heed is like? A beware. Beware. Take heed. Therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Ravening wolves that work at night that are going to tear you apart. They're going to take the fiber of your faith and rip you from it. And they're out there today. A lot of them are real pretty. You know. The rabbit is going to have to just run this morning because we've got to eat. I can't chase him. They're very eloquent speakers. They're high profile. They're multimillionaires and they have huge assemblies. And some say, well, Mark, you're just saying that because you're jealous. That's right. I'm jealous. I mean, it just kills me that we don't have 4,000 people here. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. They build these up. Paul knew that when he leaves out, they're coming in. Now, what would tell him that? His experience with the Galatians. I marvel that you're so soon removed. When he left Galatia, they came in right behind him. Folks, the door hadn't even closed when Paul left. And that's why he is so concerned about these Ephesians. That when I leave out, guys, they're coming after you. They're coming to get you. You know, it's interesting. It's also very, very disheartening to know the preachers that have passed on, gone to be with the Lord. Brother Moore, who pastored in Pensacola, his local assembly was there. He went all through Alabama and what have you. But his local assembly was in Pensacola. I don't know the exact years. It had to be 30 plus years. And he had an assembly there. He passes on. He goes to be with the Lord. 30-something years. And what do you have there now? Much of nothing. No. I mean, it wasn't long after he passed that they moved in. Brother Barry went on to be with the Lord. You were there, Chris. You got it, yeah. Now what's there? Nothing. Nothing. As soon as he went, they moved in. I'm not calling out names. I'm not going to say names. But I know the storyline behind them. I know who they were. And they came in there, and there was that assembly that these men labored over, and they came in, and they did all they could to split this thing, to get whatever they could get. You say, but they were Christians. They weren't lost people. Well, guess what? Paul addresses that also. I just didn't read to it. Let's go to Acts 20. Verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Look at that. Perverse things. That is distorted things. That's things said to lead you away from the plan of God. Well, you know what the plan of God today is? Is that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So they come in and they distort that. Well, yeah, this preacher he taught that, but I don't hold quite to the same position. Then what are you doing here? Folks, I'm not guaranteed to live through today. I mean, you could get the call. We're going to have a funeral this week for Mark. If that happens, we have people in here that know how I stand and what I stand upon. Don't let somebody come in that goes, oh, yeah, well, that was good, but I'm a little bit over here on this. Because what they're not telling you is they're way out here on this. And that's exactly what you had. Now you've got nothing. Nothing. Don't let it happen. So Paul then not only addresses the wolves, the people who really don't care about a church, they just see it and with evil attempt, contempt want to go in and tear up a church. But he said, even some of you within are going to arise speaking perverse things to lead away your own people. You know, we're in a time not approaching. We're in a time of great danger. And I'm not talking about, you know, the wars and situation in the world. I'm talking about the faith, the true fundamental faith. You have hardly any preachers today preaching out of a King James Bible. That's a shame. That in and of itself is a shame. Then, if there are those, they corrupt the truth of what's in the King James Bible. So you have something that maybe not all of you, I'm not going to throw that blanket on everybody here, but you have something that some of you are taking for granted. You have an I think it's a good building. It definitely serves a purpose of what we need for a church. And we have something even better yet. We have the true faith that God has for this age that we're living in. We have the message. Paul told the Corinthians, with all their problems, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You've got a treasure within yourself. What is it? It's that gospel. It's that hope that you have in Christ Jesus. Amen. That the rest of the world doesn't have. Imagine this world going day to day to day, laying their head down on a pillow at night, not knowing where they're going when they leave out of this world. What a miserable feeling. I went through it for much of my life. And it wasn't till I relaxed, I saw the truth of what took place at the cross, because that's hidden today, and I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I never question where I'm going. The sinner that I am is the saint that I am in Christ Jesus. So consequently, we have something special here. I mean, I know it's tough to get up on Sunday morning. It's your day off, so to speak. Maybe some of us need to take Saturday night off. Just saying. It's a day off, you know, kids are out of school, even during school, you know, they're out. It's weekend. Well, folks, let this get into your heart and soul. Let this dwell down in there, what you have in Christ. And that there aren't many people that know what you know, that have this full assurance of God Almighty, that when you leave out of this world, you're going to be with the Lord. That just isn't anywhere. They all talk about going to heaven. But folks, if you ain't coupling it with this gospel, this good news that Paul brought, you have no assurance of it. You had no assurance of it. You only have assurance with the gospel that he preached. And I'm telling you right now, the gospel that Paul preached today is corrupted. It's perverted. Oh, invite Jesus into your heart. Make him the Lord of your life. Get down on your knees and beg to him to come into your life. And turn your whole life around. Confess your sins. Get baptized. When you're done, you don't know what all you did to strike the right chord with God. They just throw so many things out there. They're addressing everybody. I mean, that's how they get everybody in there. Oh, this one doesn't believe in baptism, but this one believes in repentance. This one don't believe in repentance. This one believes in making the Jesus the Lord of your life. So they address it all. It's Heinz 57. But it's going on the hot dog. No, I'm just kidding. July 4th. That's my July 4th message, by the way. It's not going on a good, well, you don't put it on a good steak either. But it's a mixture blend, guys. Don't you see that? And Paul had great concern for his church. Why? Because he loved all of them. Even the Corinthians. Sorry. If you're a descendant of a Greek, I apologize for saying that. Even the Corinthians, with all of their problems, it was a pulling out of the hair problems. But he loved them nonetheless. Look over in Acts, see if I wrote it down. Go to chapter 15. Let's prove and verify this. See if Paul had a love for the folks, the brethren. In Acts 15, verse 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. It's a checkup. It's like the old doctors of the old days would come in and make house calls. Here comes Paul. He's coming back to the house. He's going to do a checkup on how you guys doing. Everything okay? And he'd build them up by preaching and strengthen them and encourage them by his visit there. But he also wanted to see how they're doing because he knew wherever he went and preached this gospel that when he left out, the wolves are right there. So he wanted to go back and fortify and strengthen these churches. But he cared about them. He loved them. You know, I saw an article. Well, it was a Facebook type article. An individual. How do I say this? I don't have it prescribed. That attended church a few years back was writing saying that somebody was depressed, sad, because they couldn't find a grace church. So I'm thinking, well, I know the guy had issues with me or us or whatever it was, but here you got somebody that's in a sad state emotionally because they want to go to a grace church. So I'm thinking, oh, maybe Grace Believers Bible Church will pop up in this article. Well, no, it didn't. So he convincingly told her that really a church is where you live. Your house is your church. So he brings references back to the Bible. When Paul went to these cities, he went into the synagogues because he was sent to the Jew first. He preached this gospel in there, and there were some Gentiles in that synagogue that feared God and believed in the God of the Jews. And so that group believed. Well, the unbelieving Jews weren't very happy with that message, so they were kicked out of the synagogue. Well, they moved out, and they went into a home, a house. Well, you know what that tells me? That tells me there weren't many people. That's what that tells me. There weren't many people. Yeah, the house may have been full, but houses weren't like they are today. We've been to Europe. I've seen houses there. They are built side by side by side, and they're cubicles. So I can imagine back then. So he said, that's where the churches are. They're just in your house. And I thought, well, I tell you what. Now I'm just thinking this. How about I give you a call? And next Sunday, guys, I'm telling you, we're going to all meet at his house and bring all your kids. And we're going to see how 40 plus people gather in his house with all your vehicles and the kids and see how that works for you. There's a reason why we have a church building here. Because I don't want all you at my house. Don't take it personally. I just don't want it. Got kids sliding down the banister rails. Find a little tot in the microwave. What's she doing in here, you know? I mean, it's just not feasible. You know what I'm talking about. It doesn't work well. So why wouldn't you promote the local church? Because you don't have a love for the brethren. That's why. And that's the little ditty about this guy. That's his chink in his armor. He doesn't have a love for the brethren. If you love the brethren, why wouldn't you encourage somebody? Say, you know what? You need to come to church. Yeah, but that Mark, he's too loud. He's too aggressive. I don't like the way he preaches. Is it the word of God or not? Yeah, my personality and character comes out. Every preacher's does. Paul said, the Corinthians said, his speech is contemptible. In other words, he's kind of, kind of gets after you a little bit. But he was the best that God raised up for this age because he was our apostle. So yeah, you can always find the little nitpicking things that can kind of, but folks, once again, what I started off with, don't take for granted what you have here. We've got a great facility. We've got brethren. Yeah, we all have our problems. Maybe we'll all be on the Dr. Phil show. I don't know. But at the same time, we all have our issues. But we all have something in common, and that's the Lord. If that doesn't supersede your little quirkiness of problems, then you have the problem. Go back and think about this truth, how Christ loved you, gave himself for you, died for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day so that we can have eternal life. Now here we are gathered. You know, when we first built this building, that was the original building, the white building. If we had dinner on the grounds, it was literally outside on the grounds. So our long-term goal was to build another building adjacent so that could be converted into a fellowship hall. Now we're at the end of this message. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to be able to get together, stay inside air conditioned, and go have lunch together. So don't take it for granted. Folks, the wolves are out there. There are those from within. And I'm not saying that directly to anybody here. With the internet, you can be hooked up with people from all over that have other doctrinal positions that if something happens to me, folks, they're coming after you. I mean, you don't have to wear a pork chop around your neck. They're coming after you. So stand strong, be strong, and appreciate what you have, particularly in the Lord. Salvation is free. God gives it to you by just believing that Christ died for your sin, was buried, and raised again the third day, and you have the hope of eternal life in you. You can know it. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time and opportunity. Pray if there's any here that's never trusted in Jesus Christ, that right now they'd see their need and then receive the comfort and assurance that they're saved, their sins are forgiven, and that they're going to be with you when they leave out of this world. For those of us that are here, that have trusted, we give you thanks and praise for the salvation we have through our Lord. We know that we're weak and sinful people, but Christ died for the ungodly so that we could be called the children of God. And we give you thanks and praise for that. We thank you for the food that's here. Pray it to blessing to nourish our body so that we can carry out this life and go forth with the gospel. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, before we go, just need somebody to check, make sure they're ready.